This is a Taxpayers Federation podcast where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director for the CTF. My two dear friends, Franco Terrazano, he's our federal director. Hi.
And hey.
It's the magic of the interwebs. So he looks like he's in a different place, but Ryan's actually next door to Franco in the same office. This is Ryan Thorpe. He's our investigative journalist. Guys, I hadn't had a chance to really delve into this, but we all know that we have our podcast that we love to do. I'm sure you all have your favorite podcasts that you listen to. I happen to binge them all day. But apparently government departments have their own podcast that I don't think anybody knew about, including yours truly. Ryan, what did you discover? What are these podcasts? Dare I ask how many people are actually listening to them? What are they?
Well, the answer to that last question is not many. I don't think you could probably find many Canadians who have heard of these podcasts. But yeah, in recent years, during the Trudeau government, dozens of federal departments and agencies have launched dozens of podcasts, and this is costing taxpayers millions of dollars, which is kind of hard to believe, but it is in fact true. So we learned this going through some government documents, as well as some access to information records that we got back. And I think it would be good to just give our listeners a bit of a taste of what these podcasts sound like. So we're going to throw out some clips from the A-Sayers podcast, which is produced by Statistics Canada. Take a listen.
What are some of the consequences of the idea that we should give both sides of an issue equal time or consideration? What is craft?
That is the question. That is the question that I get asked the most on a daily basis, probably throughout my whole professional life. And there really is no one succinct, easy definition of craft. I often say, like, well, what's the definition of art, or what's the definition of beauty? It gets that esoteric.
Solving the climate crisis might require us to rethink some of what we take for granted.
Yeah, so I actually identify as non-binary out of drag, but my drag character, Cyril Cinder, is a man. That is the gender identity of that character. So in drag, I exclusively use he, him pronouns, but out of drag, I use she, he, they pronouns.
What is that? Statistics Canada. You know, Ryan's going to get into the details a little bit more for you all, but folks, that is a podcast from Statistics Canada. And some of the other some of the topics that they've talked about on their podcast range from gender identity to climate change to arts and crafts to misinformation to systemic racism. Folks, this is the data collection arm of the government. In what world does anyone want to tune into Stats Canada talking about that?
Well, you know, just a second, for people listening, you are not crazy. Yes, they said this is the Statistics Canada podcast. Those words should never be mushed together in the same sentence. The fact this even exists is amazing to me, Ryan. So tell us some more about this riveting podcast. Are you hooked? Do you binge it now?
I will not be binging it, but I have listened to a few episodes at this point. The price tag on this is pretty shocking. It's almost cost taxpayers nearly $1 million. It came out to $971,000 to produce this podcast. They've released 21 episodes since January 2021, which is when this was launched, and this podcast is ongoing. Franco mentioned some of the topics, but they're pretty baffling. Gender identity, misinformation, climate change, systemic racism, the arts and crafts movement in Canada. We got back some access to information records that showed that they have 229 estimated subscribers. And that was their words, not mine. 229 estimated subscribers to this podcast. It averages 1,400 downloads every episode. And I took a look on Apple Podcasts, 39 reviews. So I don't know if this is just the bureaucrats who are putting this podcast together and maybe a few friends and family who are listening, but it certainly isn't many Canadians who are tuning into this particular offering from the Trudeau government. But there's more. There's dozens of these podcasts across government. We have another one called CCI and Chin, In Our Words. This is a production of Canadian Heritage. And the purpose of this podcast is to preserve the departmental history through interviews with current and former staff. So they aren't doing a podcast on Canadian history, more broadly, Canadian cultural history. No, it's the history of the department, which I'm sure there are tons of Canadians clamoring for, you know, a deep dive into the intricacies of Canadian heritage history. This one's cost $155,000 for 7 episodes. So that works out to more than $22,000 every episode.
Hey, I like it actually better when I walk into things cold because I didn't know you about the story. Okay, so to be clear, this is a podcast about the bureaucracy's history, its own history in its department. Yes. Not like those little heritage moment, you know, Canada, people's history. Not that. Mm-hmm. This is about how Becky forgot to water the houseplants one time, and then they had to move all of them out of Wellington for a little while when they had to do their asbestos remediation. Like, this is insane. And my question is, and I'm sorry to goon you with this question, how did this cost money? Like, not to say, but like, you can get a microphone and a laptop and a camera for not that much money. All of these people already have desks. Like, are they including their salary? Like, is this the number of people who participate in the podcast and they're just adding up their salaries as a cost?
So in this particular example, no. Salary costs aren't included in that $155,000. So if you really wanted to calculate the true hit to taxpayer when it came to producing this podcast, you would also have to add on how much we were paying the bureaucrats who are producing this. But I'll give you a couple examples in terms of how they're, you know, inflating the costs on these podcasts. So there's one from the Public Health Agency of Canada. It's called Healthy Canadians. They have 4 full-time employees working on this podcast. I will point out that the average annual compensation for a federal bureaucrat is $125,000. So that gives you that times 4, roughly speaking, is the salary cost. But they also did some outsourcing. So they spent $34,000 on editorial strategy and podcast planning. So that was their expenses for this podcast. One more I'd like to mention, Business Unusual, which was from Immigration, Refugee and Citizenship Canada. They had 13 staffers, 13 bureaucrats working on this podcast, including 2 deputy ministers and 2 executives. So think about what those positions pay in the federal government. And then now we learn that we have people getting paid that working on producing podcasts that nobody wants and nobody is listening to.
Well, come on, Ryan and Franco. Business Unusual. Get it? Get it? It's not business as usual. You'd have to pay an executive $200,000 to come up with that brilliant idea.
Like, honestly, like a podcast. Get a microphone, get some decent lighting, put up a backdrop. Or if you're Ryan, you know, you got a meter stick and a couple golf clubs behind you. Like, how in the world are you spending 6 figures on podcasts?
Is but that like, an empty bulletin board? Is that what that is behind you?
It is, yes. Currently, it's mostly used as a scratching post for Franco's cat.
Ludwig. If you know, you know. But like, okay, millions of dollars that the government is blowing on podcasts. All right? Now, if you ask the average Canadian on the street, hey, what do you want the government to do? They'd probably say, process passports, patch up potholes. And then they would probably list a couple other stuff. You know what they wouldn't list? Produce podcasts. Nobody. Because it's clear nobody is even listening to these or subscribing to these. But not only that, you want to know what the big actual issue is here? This is make work projects for too many bureaucrats that we don't need. Right? Trudeau has ballooned the bureaucracy by 108,000 federal government employees in less than a decade, a 42% increase. So, you know, someone might ask you, okay, Franco, where would you cut? The bureaucrats working on podcasts that nobody asked for and nobody is listening to. That's a good place to start.
That's a great place to start. So we often get asked this about, you know, like, for example, why we want to defund the CBC. Okay. Just to stress, folks, this is not Canadiana. Like, it's not Don Cherry interviewing Jen Arden about her latest recipe with maple syrup. No, no. This is bureaucrats talking to other bureaucrats about their bureaucracy. And you're paying for it. That is just mind-blowing. And you're absolutely right, Franco. It's clear that we have too many bureaucrats with too much time on their hands. Ryan, I just had an idea. You may want to look into it with an FOI. Check to see if they're doing, like, remember when they used to do those ridiculous kind of viral dance videos where people would suddenly gather together in a mall or something and they do like this ridiculous coordinated dance? I betcha. I betcha they're dancing in the hallways while watering their houseplants. Folks, we're laughing at this because otherwise you'll cry, because this is an outrageous waste of money. And exactly to Franco's point, so often we'll run into people saying, oh, well, how could you possibly cut money? You know, how could you possibly cut spending? We just finished doing a little stunt with the debt clock, pointing out how scary and monstrous the debt is, just in time for Halloween, which has just passed. And we pointed out that it's doubled in size. And some of the questions we were still getting from the media is, oh, well, where would you cut? Here.
Where wouldn't you cut at this point? Honestly, like the Public Health Agency of Canada has a podcast with four full-time employees, and they dropped $34,000 on a podcast strategy, editorial planning, and employee training. Huh? Get a mic, get a light, speak into it. Or better yet, your government, you shouldn't be doing a podcast at all. And, you know, let me just go back to Stats Canada here, right? Because, you know, we were kind of making fun or making light of like the topics that they were talking about, which have nothing to do with statistics, right? The fact that they had podcasts on a gender identity, climate change, misinformation, systemic racism. Here's the thing. If those individuals want to have their own podcast on those issues on their own time and their own dime, fill your boots. I don't care. Go nuts. The government, Statistics Canada, should not have a podcast on those issues or any other issue, right? Look, I hate the carbon tax more than the next guy. I don't think the government should have a podcast on why the carbon tax is bad, because government shouldn't be doing podcasts with other people's money.
No. It's a huge waste of money. I gotta wonder though, we also should look into the if Global Affairs, you know, they must have done a podcast on your German sex toy show.
Well, and also with Global Affairs Canada dropping $51,000 a month on booze, that actually might be a pretty entertaining podcast.
Or the old people sex stories. And where was that?
Taiwan.
Yeah. That might actually be a rip-roaring episode. Okay, folks, this is just another example of the outrageous waste of time and money that the government gets up to. Again, on your dime with bureaucrats that don't obviously have to be there. Did we want to get to something like good news?
Yeah.
Want to get to good news? I'll let you take the lead on this. We've got Premier of Alberta, Daniel Smith, jumping over the top rope and tagging in on the court fight against the carbon tax, Franco. And you were almost doing cartwheels earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean, we got some good news. And the good news is because of our Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters, the people who are watching this, who've been pushing politicians to take Trudeau's carbon tax back to court. Now, you probably remember, folks, in a couple episodes ago, we had our own in-house lawyer, Devin Drover, on the show explaining why premiers should take Trudeau's carbon tax back to court. And now, after pressure from our CTF supporters, we do have one premier, Alberta Premier Daniel Smith, officially launching another court fight against Trudeau's carbon tax. I'm going to throw a clip of the announcement from the Alberta government.
The Alberta government continues to push back on the federal carbon tax. Premier Daniel Smith announcing the province's steps in its fight against the tax in the form of a court challenge. Alberta is taking aim at the federal exemption on home heating oil in Atlantic Canada.
We're asking the court to declare the exemption both unconstitutional and unlawful. We hope that this will force Ottawa to recognize the burden the carbon tax places on Canadians and eliminate the tax altogether. Albertans know we've got their backs on this. Our government has been fighting the federal carbon tax since 2019. We even took it to the Supreme Court of Canada in 2021. It was wrong when it was made into law, and it's wrong now.
Last year, Ottawa announced it was removing the carbon tax from furnace oil for 3 years, but did not exempt other forms of home heating energy.
Well, there it is. The first premier to officially launch another carbon tax court challenge against Trudeau. So, you know, that clip explains some of the rationale, but let me get a little bit more wonky, if I may. So you remember that there was a previous carbon tax court challenge. The CTF was there sticking up for taxpayers, fighting the carbon tax. Well, when the Supreme Court originally okayed the carbon tax, it was because the federal government argued that it needed a national carbon tax to address a national problem. That's the argument that the Supreme Court okayed. However, Trudeau then torpedoed his own legal rationale for the national carbon tax when he stepped up to the mic, surrounded by his Atlantic Liberal members of parliament, and announced that he is removing the carbon tax from furnace oil for 3 years. Why did he torpedo that argument? Because furnace oil is a popular fuel source only in one region of Canada, Atlantic Canada, which is a typical Liberal stronghold, right? Trudeau made that announcement because he was nosediving in the polls out there. But for the vast majority of Canadian families, they don't use furnace oil. So Trudeau provided carbon tax relief for some region, for one region, predominantly Atlantic Canada, while leaving everyone else paying higher carbon tax bills during the winter on their home heating. Let me just nail that point home one more time. Up to 40% of households in Atlantic Canadian provinces use furnace oil to heat their homes. Only 3% of Canadian families use furnace oil. In Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, less than 1%. Use furnace oil. So Trudeau torpedoed his own argument that he needed a national carbon tax to fight a national problem by implementing his carbon tax carve out on furnace oil with benefit, which benefits one region and leaves everyone else out in the cold.
Yeah, big time. And this is obviously why Premier Smith is jumping in on this fight, because to put a point on it, here in Alberta, the vast majority of Albertans use natural gas. I would guess, even just guess, that more people probably even use propane here than they do furnace oil. Like, you would have to randomly find someone on a farm that still bothers to get furnace oil. Like, most of the Western Canadian provinces switched in the late 80s, early 90s. And so she's exactly right to fight this, because if you add up all the winter months that we have here in Alberta and how much people are paying on average, the average household, I think it's over $400, around $440 extra,
yep,
that they're going to have to pay on the carbon tax on home heating this winter. And they're not getting the carve out. So the premier's right to say, hey, this is unfair. I'm a little bit more hopeful about this Supreme Court challenge this time around for this reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, as are we, right? Because the whole legal rationale that the Supreme Court okayed is that it was a national solution to a national problem. Again, that was the federal government's argument that the Supreme Court okayed, and Trudeau torpedoed that argument. He blew a hole through constitutional accountability with his carve out.
That's an excellent point. And it's definitely the reason why the premier has gotten into this fight, because it's so fundamentally unfair. And it sure seems like we'd have a better chance this time around. And it's right, frankly, to fight the carbon tax, because the carbon tax costs people a ton of money without the environmental gain that this federal government keeps on promising. So we are right to put the boots to them over this thing. And that it brings me to my taxpayer pro tip, nice segue, to encourage all other premiers in Canada from coast to coast to team up and fight the Trudeau government on the carbon tax. Folks, we've been in this fight for a long time. All of the data is out now. We know that the average Canadian family still pays out more than they get back in rebates. We know that it's costing people an arm and a leg to drive to work, to heat their homes, to buy food, all of that really fundamental stuff here in Canada. And so it is important for all premiers, regardless of political stripe, I'm looking at you, Premier Eby, to jump over the ropes here and fight the Trudeau government on the carbon tax in court. So that is a taxpayer pro tip. No matter where you're listening to this across Canada, urge your premier, send them an email, say, get involved with this fight, go help Daniel Smith fight Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's carbon tax, because I'm tired of paying through the nose for no environmental gain. Who wants to go next for their taxpayer pro tip, Ryan?
Yeah, I can go next. I've got a bit of a taxpayer shout out and a pro tip this week. So it relates to the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council. And for people who don't know, this is a federally funded agency that hands out more than $1 billion of our tax dollars every year. And that money goes to academics for academic research in the soft sciences. And so we recently did a bit of a deep dive because we were curious, okay, what kind of projects are getting funded? What exactly are they using our money for here? Here's just a couple of my personal favorites that I found when looking at where this money is going. We paid $20,000 for an academic report on gender politics and Peruvian rock music. We paid $60,000 for a report entitled Trapped in the Wrong World, Transgender and Paranormal Phenomenon. $17,500 for a treatise that claims Don Cherry stands for the quote unquote normalization of white supremacy through sports. And $105,000 for an investigation into the relationship between carts and the humans who design, assemble, use, and repurpose them. And one note on that, when they say carts, what they're talking about is shopping carts. $105,000 for a research study into the lives of shopping carts.
You could have just got Bubbles to do it for free.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So we recently did this research. Some of it ended up in the National Post. So I want to give a taxpayer shout out to Tristan Hopper at the National Post, who wrote some of this up. And if people are interested, they can go check out his article that was Inside the Abyss of Canadian Taxpayer Funded Humanities Research. And then as for my taxpayer pro tip this week, it's going to go out to Minister of Innovation, Science and Industry, François-Philippe Champagne. He oversees this particular agency. Canadians don't need this academic research. Canadians don't want this academic research. No one would be choosing to voluntarily fund this with their own money. So defund the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council. That is my taxpayer pro tip this week.
I just needed to clarify again. I heard paranormal in there. Or were they actually studying like trends, like LGBTQ plus ghosts?
That it certainly appears that way. Yeah.
Tune in to the next episode of Statistics Canada's podcast.
Unless they've got David Bowie and Freddie Mercury doing a killer duet in platform heels. I'm not willing to pay for that. Franco, what is your taxpayer pro tip?
Well, you know what? I've got a bit of a shout out and a pro tip as well. So shout out to Mr. Pierre Poilievre. Great announcement on housing. That's awesome. For you guys who didn't hear what Mr. Poilievre proposed, he is going to remove the federal sales tax from all new homes that are sold under $1 million. That's awesome. Like, that is real savings for people buying a brand new home, savings up to $50,000, right? $50,000 back in your pocket. If you zoom out for a second, what it really is doing is putting $4 billion back into the pockets of home buyers every single year. Every single year. Real savings for people. And look, like, it's also what he has done is take a sharp contrast to what the Trudeau government has done, right? The Trudeau government has wasted a bunch of taxpayers' money on housing slush funds, set up these really big bureaucracies that are needed to manage any type of fund, right? And look around. Homes are still unaffordable under the Trudeau government. So Mr. Poilievre is doing the exact opposite, which is the exact right move, cutting taxes to encourage home building and to make new homes more affordable for Canadians. So shout out to Mr. Poilievre. Honestly, that's one of the best housing policy proposals come out of Ottawa, well, since I can remember in quite a long time. But not only that, it's a fiscally responsible announcement, because not only is Mr. Poilievre promising to cut taxes when you buy a new home under $1 million, but he's also promising to scrap wasteful housing slush funds out of Ottawa. So he's cutting taxes and he's cutting wasteful spending. Two thumbs up. Love it.
Yeah.
Great job. Now, just to continue, because I know we're all big fans of that policy announcement, but the pro tip goes out to the provincial premiers. follow Polyev's lead. Cut the provincial sales tax.
You know, we would, but...
Oh, how I miss home sweet home.
I just had to get that little jibe in there, promoting the fact that, of course, unless you just landed from Mars, you know that there is no PST here in the province of Alberta. So it's pretty good. In all seriousness, it's really good to hear serious, concrete solutions to our massive housing shortage and how ridiculously expensive homes are, instead of the answer always being more government or let's study it more. And I think one of the reasons why Mr. Polyev came up with this is because people like our listeners, Canadians, common sense Canadians, are pushing back on home prices and home taxes. We keep on hearing this risk of a home equity tax coming down the pipe. The Liberals could drop this at any moment and come up with this idea. They keep on floating it. They keep on studying it. And I think there's now a spotlight on true solutions to this housing cost issue. And this is super smart, and it's big time money savings. Folks, that's all we have for the show today. If you want to get involved, if you're tired of sitting back and just getting kicked in the teeth all the time and handing about half your wages over to the government without putting up a fight, join the fight. It's super fun. Go to our website, taxpayer.com, sign the petitions that speak to you. If, for example, you're opposed to a home equity tax, if you want to defund the CBC, if you want to stop the government gun grab, sign the petition that speaks to you, and bingo, you're now on the taxpayer army. And the next time it's time to flood an inbox of a politician and push them to move, that's going to be you signing on the dotted line. So folks, thanks so much for watching. We'll catch you next time.